You know, what keeps me up at night lately isn't horror movies. It's realizing how much of my life is floating around the internet. Addresses, phone numbers, my family members, my personal emails. Data brokers are collecting this stuff and selling it like it's a clearance item. That's why I'm excited to tell you about My Data Removal. They help you remove your personal info from the web, but for real. Not just hiding it, but going after the more than 200 sites and growing where your info might be exposed. They scan, they remove, and they keep you updated every month so you know what's been taken down. Identity theft, unwanted calls, someone getting a hold of your home address and family details. It's not paranoid. It's real. In fact, 1 in 3 Americans has experienced identity theft. It costs time, money, and emotional stress. My Data Removal fights back so you don't have to. Here's what you do. Head to MyDataRemoval.com. Start with a free scan to see exactly what data about you is floating around. Then let them clean it up. Let them restore your privacy. Protect yourself. Protect your family. Clean up your data with My Data Removal. Visit MyDataRemoval.com now. Your peace of mind is worth it.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Well, yes, and you do that multiple ways by making sure, and I do not know, Tony, in your jurisdiction, whether judges are appointed or they're if they're elected. I don't know. They're elected, you get her ass off the bench.
Yeah.
You know, the next time she's up for election. You know, I mean, the judicial board, the board of overseers for judges, it's really tough to get a judge off the bench.
Sure.
But, you know, the thing that we have going on here is when you really look at who was responsible for the gag and why it happened, you have to look no further than that woman sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think that you want, she wants the world talking about the fact that she let this dude out on a 5K bond?
No, but why would you do that to begin with? I guess that's where I go, like, to the motivation of it to begin. Like, what is the motivation? Like, you are not going to be criticized in any way, shape, or form for keeping that man behind bars. There's no one that's going to go after you and say, well, that was really harsh. I can't believe that you kept that man with 47 of these charges behind bars. What on earth is motivating you to go, $5,000 bond, that seems like that's a great idea. This isn't going to look bad on me or anything, because you can't think that this woman's sitting there going, I wanted to release a sexual predator into my community. This sounds like a fun idea because I'm an evil person. That's not how that person, I'm sure, is operating. Sure. So how is that person operating? What is the incentive? And sometimes people make really dumb choices for really dumb reasons that have nothing to do with public safety, but more so sometimes infrastructure, like housing. Is there an issue here with, like, is there an incentive not to get people in that jail? Like, is there a reason? Like, it costs too much. It's this or that. We don't want to fill it up. We don't want to have this on a, I don't know. Like, are there any other possible messed up other reasons sitting over here why she would have made that choice other than going, she wants predators in their community, which that I just don't buy that.
I mean, if there's a viable explanation, I can't think of it.
I can't have it either. Yeah.
You know, I can't.
Or she wasn't paying attention that day. I mean, are there in gross incompetence?
Something? Yeah.
I mean, that man's death sits on her head. There's you know, and whether or not, you know, I mean, if you're an eye for an eye person, then, you know, you're probably fine with that. You know, but this guy should have been incarcerated up until trial and, you know, let him have his day in court and, you know, let the chips fall where they may. But that's not how it happened. And there's really only one person to blame for it. And it's this judge. And you said, Tony, I have no idea what her motivation was. I mean, that's an awful bad day. Like, if you're just having a bad day and this one slipped through the cracks.
Yeah, I mean, like, are you just, like, not paying? Like, okay, well, let's just get this. I mean, I don't know. There's so many of these cases where you look at it and you go, oh, the judge is not, like, inherently evil. But why, there's not the only thing that, I mean, this would look much better if they made this other choice. It would help them. They're making choices to help these predators, and it also hurts the judge in terms of image and optics. It doesn't.
Yeah, it's not a good look for the judge. And I'm sure that Fossil's attorney, when he was arguing for bond, or she was arguing for bond, was saying, look, this guy's former law enforcement. He's got no criminal history. And, you know, I mean, he's denying the allegations, you know. So based on those three things, he's a member of the community. You know, he's well-liked by people. All that same shit that you hear all the time in terms of bond hearings.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe she's just didn't have the foresight to be like, okay, well, you know, there's probably a really angry father out there, and, you know, and or didn't understand the depths and the level of grooming that was going on with this kid, man, because that, like, that's what this thing boils down to. Like, people that don't understand grooming, because anytime I see in our chat when we're covering this case, somebody's like, well, how did she get out to the car? And I'm like, I don't give a fuck. When you ask that question, that tells me you don't understand grooming. You do not understand how grooming works. Yep.
Or you've been so groomed that you are that clueless about it.
Well, but she's also young. I wouldn't give her the expectation that she would have a boundary here, because this man has crossed over all of her boundaries.
Yes,
exactly.
He doesn't know who to trust at this point.
That's what grooming is when it's a kid.
That's exactly what it is. So who knows what he lured her out with?
Right. I mean,
matter.
The fact is that we know in terms of whatever their relationship was prior. Okay. Yeah. And despite the fact that she made an outcry, that he had ingratiated himself in her life enough to where she felt that she had some form of relationship with this guy.
Yeah.
You know, he had garnered trust with her, and he was probably showering her with affection. And, you know, I mean, I have no idea what was going on with the Spencer home in terms of, like, what is Aaron a huggy, you know, affectionate
kids
dad?
Can be manipulated. I mean, anyone can be manipulated, but especially young girls young children can be manipulated. That's why we have these fucking cases, unfortunately, because people do this to kids because they're kids.
Exactly.
And he knew exactly what he was doing. He knew he knew as he was crossing over that line exactly what he was going to get.
Right.
And if it wasn't going to be her, it was going to be somebody else.
Yeah.
He was going to find somebody. So this man knows the rules. There's, I'm sorry, the lines are not blurred here for him, especially being in law enforcement. Fuck you.
So 100%. What's next for Aaron here? I mean, I know, what's going on here? What's the next steps?
So right now where it's at, that motion to dismiss, I think, was filed about 3 weeks ago. There's going to be a hearing on that. And it is set for a trial date late this year or early next year. I can't remember if it's kind of mid-December or if it's early January. There had been a trial date set, and Spencer's attorneys asked for a continuance of it. That was granted. So it kicked it. It was actually supposed to be taking place in October, the trial. Mm-hmm. That's got pushed down the road a little bit. So, I mean, it's going to be going to trial in pretty short order. And, you know, like I said, I'm not optimistic that the motion to dismiss is going to be granted.
Yeah.
I mean, even if it was granted and the judge was of the mindset, okay, like this is my make good on this, you know, I'm going to dismiss these charges, the prosecuting attorney, unless she were to dismiss it with prejudice, you know, the prosecuting attorney is going to have the ability to be able to go into a grand jury and try to get an indictment there, whether or not he'd be able to.
Why?
I don't know, man.
Why even eat a little crow? Look, we fucked up. We acted for whatever reason. We acted this way. Upon further review,
No.
That was just wrong.
Yep.
Eat a little crow. Have a little humility. It's okay. Life goes on. People will respect you far more for that rather than digging your claws in for the next however long this is going to take. And you will destroy any bit of reputation you have if this is the hill you want to go die on.
100%, man. And like, so we had Amanda Knox on yesterday, and we were talking exactly about this concept of prosecutors, and apparently not just in this country, but worldwide, that just don't have the ability to say, you know what, I got this one wrong.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry. It's like that concept of them having to die on every hill that has ever been. And if, especially if it's a hill that's been climbed before them, like they weren't even the prosecuting attorney, but it was merely that office, and you're 20 years down the road and you've got some subsequent prosecutor looking at the case, and if they're looking at it objectively and like, yeah, this is kind of fucked up, this guy, or, you know, you see it even where cases have been exonerated and these prosecutors are still saying, nah, still think they got the right guy. I talk with you, and I'm
you
like,
do. There's so many docs I watch where it's like, I'm the prosecutor, they're in the nursing home, and like, oh, we had it right back in 74.
I don't understand it. I don't,
because people like don't said. Like being wrong.
So and you know, what?
I completely agree, but so many people can't like, and I get, you know, if you're going into that job, you want to be very confident. So it's good that you do have people that will just go and all out and still believe whatever they're going to believe. But yeah, it's not a strength of the human species to admit faults.
No, but Tony, you nailed it when you said, look, you know, people are going to respect you more, not less, when you have that mea culpa where you're like, you know what? I screwed this one up. I'm devastated by it. I'm so sorry that I stole 20 plus years of this person's life. Yeah. I wish that I could turn back the hands of time. I cannot. I was presented with the facts and evidence and the way that I saw it at that time. This was the culprit. I went in good faith. I really believe that this person had committed the crime. I have been proven to be, you know, to have been wrong about that. Uh-huh. And for that, I apologize to that person, to his family, and let's move on. I think people would look at that and they'd be say, all right, yeah, I can respect that. I mean, we're all human. We all make mistakes. There's no shame in that. At least own it. You know, I respect the fact when somebody's going to own a mistake a hell of a lot more than if they're not willing to do that.
100%.
It's we're not in a place where it's about getting to the truth. It's about being right. And being right doesn't mean you're actually at the truth all the time either, because that side thinks they're right and that side thinks they're right. The truth is somewhere over here. Yep. And this is what that should be the goal, not just whatever I said first is right, because a lot of times it's not. That's right. Yeah, I know. It's a muscle that needs to be exercised. We'd be in a much better place in our world if we could do that.
Indeed.
Such a fascinating and horrible case. Of course, we'll keep following it. And I know you're following it. Everybody can check that out over on Defense Diaries. Of course, wherever you get podcasts, YouTube, just search the Defense Diaries podcast with Bob Mata, and you will find that. Bob, as always, thank you so much for coming on.
My pleasure. Hey, I have a request for next week. Let's dig a little into the Austin Drummond case. You look at that one? It's
I've been
it's
in
weird,
it. Yeah.
Weird one, man.
It is very weird. The man who claims he's a secret FBI informant.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
Guys not do a little cosplay here? I mean, as soon as we're off the air, I find my cape and my, I mean, come on.
I've run it by two FBI agents now going, is there any way, shape or form this guy's an FBI informant? The answer is no. But it's a weird case.
There's
a lot of weird things to talk. So, yes, next week, let's talk about that Austin case.
Yeah, and you know what would be cool? I'd like to get one of those feds on, because I'd love to probe them onto that. I don't find it so easy to dismiss, because, you know, that whole informant game, especially on the federal level, is different.
Let me see if I can get Robin on at the same time.
That would be awesome.
Perfect.
And
suggest that.
That would be a good back and forth there.
Yeah, because that case really has my mind racing.
Yeah,
I'm not so quick to, because when you listen to his audio, when he makes that strange call into the reporter from that local media outlet, and you know, he keeps saying, please fact check me on this, please fact check me on this. And it was funny because I was just coming back from interviewing an old Louisiana attorney that's a legendary guy. He's had some incredible cases and clients. And one of his clients was this guy, Barry Seal, who, if you've ever seen the movie American Made, which is with Tom Cruise, and it's about that pilot who becomes a drug smuggler, that's based on Barry Seal. So Barry Seal was his client, and I heard all of these stories about him being an informant after he got picked up down in Miami. And he was really, really helping the feds nail some really, really big fish in terms of running drugs for them still after the fact as a confidential informant. Yeah. He was probably the biggest asset that the feds had in terms of the war on drugs down there. He was this close to getting Pablo Escobar. They got him on a smuggle deal, but they couldn't extradite Escobar back to the States. I mean, and so ultimately you have two cases going on simultaneously down in Louisiana. The feds down there did not know what that Miami division was doing at all, and that he was an asset over there. So within the same agency, you have a left hand not knowing at all what the right hand is doing. And ultimately the judge down there, when he gets arrested on some bullshit, mm-hmm. like some just like penny ante drug charges, but they had invested $200,000 in investigating this guy. We're getting him.
Yeah.
But somehow there's some communication that takes place. And they're like, okay, this guy's an asset for us. That's what they're telling the Louisiana yeah. division, the Baton Rouge division. And they're like, okay, he can't go in. Like, you got to give him probation. So there was like a backdoor deal to give this guy probation. However, the judge on his own accord said, okay, well, I'm not happy about this because this guy's a real blight on society. He's putting drugs on our streets. I hate this guy. He should be in prison. I'm going to give him the probation. However, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make him stay in a halfway house. His lawyer, the guy I was interviewing, sitting there, okay, well, you're now issuing him a death sentence. This guy is an informant for the feds, and he's trying to put away big fish cartel guys. They're going to kill him. Uh-huh. Needless to say, judge does what he's going to do. He puts him in the halfway house, and Barry Seals is assassinated yeah. within 2 weeks of being in there. So, point being,
could have happened.
I understand what Robin might be saying. Yeah. I'm going to have a little pushback.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, is it possible? Yes, without a doubt. Yeah. Probable? No, but that's not an absolute no either.
Yeah.
It does happen. Is Aaron Spencer that guy? Probably not. But it is worth the conversation because there's a lot of weird things in this case that are worth discussing, whether it leads to that or not, but just trying to figure out who the hell is Aaron
Spencer. I guarantee yeah. you by the end, because we've dug pretty deep into it, and I guarantee you by the end of that live, you're going to be like scratching your head because I'll put some shit out there that you're going to be yeah. like, oh, I wasn't aware of that. Especially,
yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I was saying Aaron Spencer there. I meant Austin Drummond. But
so, yeah, no, yeah, no, and yeah, I knew yeah, exactly. Yeah, and, yeah. and like, I'm not saying that Spencer or, see, I'm doing the same shit, that yeah. Drummond's not the same guy
yeah.
or that he isn't the guy at all. But I'm just saying it seems like there's a lot of layers to the onion that need to be peeled back.
There is. No, there's, this is a weird onion, without yeah, a doubt. It's really a weird is. Onion. Really all right, we'll is. Do that next week on, cool. on Tuesday. We'll see if we can get Robin to
join us. Less crazy shit goes on in between, which, you know.
And who knows?
I've had yeah. enough.
I've had enough of it. Just want to go back to where, like, you know, like it felt good talking about Chad Daybell today, which is insane because it's horrible.
Yeah, it's crazy. And honestly, I got a note from my landlord, so we'll see if I show up tomorrow.
Oh, you got a note from me. So Bob, you weren't in here on this, so we were listening. I've recreated the James and Elena letter from Chad Daybell, the love letter, and it's on YouTube now, and I have it in Chad's voice, and I have all this sort of sexy music behind it and everything. So we were listening to that, and at the same time I was like Barry Manilowing it, where it's like
Barry Whiting is
Barry Whiting blowing fire.
And all this is coming out of her speaker this morning while people are trying to fix her dishwasher, and they don't know.
He didn't tell me when they were coming. So at the yep. time when we were talking about Chad admiring Lori's voluptuous breasts and all of, I mean, just. Ooh.
Yeah, baby.
Just across from me, because I'm in my kitchen because I recently moved. So two maintenance guys were working on my dishwasher, and I'm sitting over here. I muted my mic, and I'm like, "I'm sorry, you guys. I'm so sorry because they're being violated.
Yeah,
and they're probably thinking I'm some porno person in the apartment complex now.
That's awesome.
I'm in true crime. I told the guy this when I was renting the place. So
you know what would have made amazing content is to get those two guys on video watching that whole thing play out.
Can we just get your reaction? What did the note from your what did the note say from your landlord?
Well, I just saw that I didn't read it. I saw it popped up in my email.
I'll take a look. Read
it. It might just be that the work order is complete.
Probably.
I hope it's more. I really do. I hope it's more. And that becomes like kind of like a little bit of an addition, a little bonus content at the end of the next Chad Daybell.
This will be a tease for everybody. I will reveal it if it's a, you know, some sort of disciplinary action of some
There you go. There
you go. Tune in tomorrow to find out what it really said.
There you go.
I love it.
And on that note, Let us know your thoughts in the comment section wherever you're watching or listening to us. Be sure to press subscribe as well so you don't miss any of the things that we talk about and the stories we cover for you here at the Hidden Killers podcast. For Bob, for Stacy, for Todd, I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.